Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Good afternoon and welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I'm joined here today by Sherry Patterson, who is also hosting. And we have a special guest. Her name is Jasmine Smith, entrepreneur and owner of Baby Vend, which is a vending machine providing solutions for moms on the go. You can find them in airports and shopping centers in the United States. Jasmine Smith has been distinguished by the governor of the state of Alaska for her achievements as a community leader, entrepreneur, and business coach. As a mentor to members of the community, Smith has coached more than 250 entrepreneurs to owning and operating their own businesses across the nation. Her family is originally from Savannah, Georgia, and Jasmine and her family now reside in Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We're excited to have you. And Sherry, thank you for being here.
Thank you for allowing me to be here, Christina Michelle. I'm so honored.
So Jasmine, we are super excited to talk to you today about your achievements as a Black woman, as an entrepreneur, and as an inventor and an innovator. I love what I saw on your Facebook where your description, you said you're a woman striving for self-improvement and leaving a legacy for your kids. And we are just looking forward to getting into a conversation with you about what that looks like in your journey and where you're going. So can you start off just telling us a little bit about who you are and where you are right now in life?
Yes. So I'm from Savannah, Georgia originally, but I've been in Alaska pretty much my whole life, so I consider myself Alaskan, but I am what we call Gullah Geechee. So I joke that, like, if you ever watched that TV show from Nickelodeon in the 90s and it was Gullah Gullah Island, that's like a real culture, real places, and real people. So I love diving in that part of who I am and being what I call 50% Alaskan, 50% Georgian. So I am definitely proud of that aspect of myself, and I always like to tell that story first. So I feel like being like a Black Alaskan woman with like Southern roots really shaped me and molded me to like who I am today and the journey and the steps that I've taken. So to go from multi-generational Southern family in existence to moving to Eagle River, Alaska, and you're one of four Black kids, and finding that you are even a step removed because you want to be an entrepreneur at a time when it's, all military or college was definitely a journey. So I feel like I've gone on a full circle experience from, like, young Black girl just trying to find myself and, like, be proud of myself and who I am to, like, coming into my own as, like, a parent and, like, a proud Alaskan entrepreneur who now is able to have a business that allows me to be good financially, but, you know, most importantly, give back to my community and kind of help other entrepreneurs of color and young kids who are trying to find themselves in their path. So it's a conversation I could have all day. I get super excited. So, yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about Gullah Geechee? I'm not familiar with that.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that. So literally, we grow up hearing about Creole, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that Creole is like Louisiana, and it's French and Canadian, Native and African. So Gullah Geechee is the Eastern edition of that. It's a combination of like West African culture and a little bit of Native American roots, but it's one of the oldest, most untouched cultures in the United States. So literally, like up until the 20s and 30s, Black people who were descendants of the Atlantic slave trade moved to the islands, and they lived there, and they owned the islands, and literally that culture was untouched. So it comes out, like, when I talk fast or, you know, say certain words, it's a really unique culture. And I can say shout out to Mahogany, who I love. Me and Mahogany have, like, Gullah Geechee conversations all the time. So it's basically West African infused with some Southernness. So there's things that, like, we say commonly that we don't realize is like a Gullah Geechee word. And literally Gullah Geechee is the same thing. So I find that if you're from northern Florida through Georgia, they tend to say Geechee more. And if you're from South Carolina and North Carolina, they tend to say Gullah more. So, you know, it's just words like goober. We know there's goober candy, but that's actually a West African Gullah Geechee word as well for peanut. And then, you know, when you sing words and songs like Kumbaya, that's actually a Gullah Geechee song and language for come by here. So it's literally one of the oldest untouched, distinctly African-American hybrid African cultures that is in the South. So I'm really proud of, like, a small piece of those roots.
I love that. That's part of why I love doing this show, too, because I learn something new every single time. So I'm really excited about that. Thanks, Jasmine.
Yeah, okay. I love the show. So I always listen to you guys and get excited. So I love what y'all are doing, too.
Thank you so much. Jasmine, so you are an entrepreneur, an inventor. So you've joined the ranks of some of those unsung heroes and inventors in our culture. So Madam C.J. Walker, she invented a line of hair care products for our hair, black African-American hair, after she suffered her loss of her hair from a skin condition, and there was nothing else. She did that, and we still celebrate her and use some of her products today. And there's also Mary Beatrice Davidson, who invented the sanitary pad and the sanitary belt. And she also invented the bathroom tissue holder. So they said that necessity is the mother of invention. And I'm sure that's how these two and others came about. They needed something. And so they started exploring, and they came up with these revolutionary ideas. And so here you are. Tell us about your journey to what you've created.
Yeah, so I like to be, like, totally open and unfiltered. So literally up until baby Vin and my kids even came into my mind and my life, I had never even touched a vending machine, you know, with the exception of, like, basic transactional, like, purchases. But literally, like, baby Vin came about as a parent. You know, I have 7-year-old twins, and at the time they were little, we were in the mall shopping, and my son, you know, he had an epic diaper blowout. And at the time, I was a new parent still, so I was kind of learning and, like, finding my footing in terms of what to pack and what to bring. So I didn't have enough supplies, and it was just kind of funny because, like, I was in line at JCPenney's, and I had a cart full of Christmas presents. And as a parent, and I know you probably, like, get it, Michelle, like, as a parent, I was like, I'm going to either A, find a diaper in this mall, or if I have to leave all this stuff, I am not coming back. So I had to, like, engineer a diaper in the mall for my son to just make it through the line. But once I went through that experience, and it was all stressful as a new parent, just being like, dang, I'm stressed over a diaper. That's when I just kind of, I got home and I sat down and I'm like, there's not a machine, anything that has stuff that parents need when they're out and about. So I literally, like, got on the internet one night, and I was just searching, looking up vending machines, looking up companies, and just trying to figure out what is the best way I can make sure other parents or people with their nieces and nephews and grandkids, whatever the case is, or babysitters, you know, you're not stuck needing a supply in a place where there are none. So, like, that's literally what birthed the idea, was, like, my frustration as a parent in that moment. And then doing market research and stuff, which I know, like, you know, Christina, you know about that and business and all that stuff too, and just saying, like, what is missing, what is needed, and how can I get in here and help? And literally, like, that's where it came from. And I will say, at first, I was, like, told I was crazy. I remember I went to another vending company, and I asked that vending company to mentor me, and the owner point blank said, that is a dumb idea. You should stick to what you know. Candy and soda and machines, yes. All this other stuff you're talking about will never work. And he was super discouraging, and it was hard to hear. but I wasn't going to let that stop me, you know, so I just still moved forward and got my machine anyways and put it in my garage and just taught myself how to use it, you know, and learned the ins and outs. And that's literally how Baby Then was birthed. It's like a random vending machine off of Craigslist in my garage, practicing vending at night while my kids were asleep, trying to learn what I was trying to, like, partake in.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it was an experience. It was an experience.
Jasmine, I love that you mentioned that you had some resistance to your brilliant idea in the beginning, because that happens so often, and we don't always hear about the struggle on the way to something as amazing as what you've created. And it makes me think of FedEx and Starbucks. So both of those ideas were shot down in the beginning. People didn't think that anybody would want to just sit around in a coffee shop and listen to music and drink coffee. And with FedEx, when that idea was pitched, no one thought that anyone would ever want mail the next day. It was like...
That's crazy.
Isn't it? And now it's just a part of life. I can't imagine, you know, our worlds without either one of those. And it's the same thing with Baby Vend, I'm sure. The first time I saw Baby Vend, I thought it was brilliant. And I didn't even know that you had created it. And I don't even have children. And so, you know, as an aunt, I can imagine being somewhere and needing something for a baby and not having it. And so, I mean, it's just incredible. It's incredible.
It's crazy. It's like... There's got to be someone, like, I always joke, like, there's got to be people out there that are, like, crazy enough to try new things. I don't know. If we got, like, deterred every time someone told us, no, you can't do it, it's not a good idea, I don't even know where we'd be, but I feel like we have, like, a society and a culture that is really heavy on accomplishments and the good side, but I just found in my journey there's power in, like, the hard part, because, like, if he hadn't told me no, like, that made me want to go harder, right? So I'm like, right. Oh, gosh, I just told you my idea. I'm excited. I get it. I know what I'm talking about. I was sad. I'm not going to lie. Like, and I tell people, like, I was sad for, like, a day. Like, oh, maybe this is dumb. Like, huh. But then I had to, like, snap back to me. Like, he don't know you. You can do this. So I just, like, I just really want to see, like, more of that with, like, with us, you know, especially women of color. Like, it's going to be hard sometimes. But you got this, and, like, not being afraid to share, like you said, the hard stuff. Because yes. I feel like the hard stuff is what really, like, sets us apart and shows, like, who's going to keep going and can look past the hard times.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to consider the source, too.
Yes.
A lot of times we're pitching our ideas to people who are not our target audience, and then we get discouraged about it. And it's like, hey, okay, well, you know, you don't think it's a good idea. You probably wouldn't use it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Like, I heard that, like, so we did an event last Sunday, and we actually had, like, Master P talk, and I really look up to him and, like, his business. And that's the same thing he said. He was like, your dream isn't for everybody. Everybody's not going to speak the language or understand what you're trying to do. You have to know what you're trying to do, know the language. And I'm like, oh, that's so true. We just get deterred and stopped too much from people who don't know what we're trying to do. And like you said, we're not considering sometimes who is the sender of this message.
Yes.
And what is their objective, you know? So I've just kind of learned to, like, before I respond and, like, get worked up or upset now, I'm like, who is the sender and what do I think their objective is? You know, so.
Well, we're going to take a quick break now. If you're just joining us, we are here, Culture Rich Conversations, with Jasmine Smith, who is the inventor of Baby Vend. And when we come back, we're going to hear more about what inspired Jasmine to invent her creation, and maybe a little bit about being an entrepreneur and a mother, anything else that Jasmine would like to share. So we'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO. I'm your host, Christina Michelle. My co-host is Sherry Patterson, and we also have Kelly Patterson, who has joined the conversation. And we are interviewing Jasmine Smith, who is the inventor of Baby Vend. Jasmine's just been sharing a little bit about her journey as an entrepreneur and what led her to creating Baby Vend. And we're just going to jump back into the conversation and hear a little bit more about Jasmine.
Jasmine, hi, this is Sherry. I was just wondering, first of all, we want to congratulate you, and we were excited to have you as our guest today. And I'm just wondering, how have your city of Anchorage, Alaska, received you since your success with Baby Vend? And how are they receiving you in your hometown in the South?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. So, yeah, so I like to always look at it in terms of, like, now and before and be, like, really real with that conversation. So post Baby Vend and seeing it, like, from the minute I had the idea, they were so supportive in Anchorage. I actually joke that I'm probably the only person who had an Anchorage Daily News article of me standing at the future site of a machine I did not have yet or visualize, with them saying, "You go, girl, when it comes, we'll take more pictures." So that meant a lot to me because I didn't even have anything yet, and they saw my vision. And I can say from my hometown standpoint, you know, like that, you know, and God rest her soul, my grandma was still alive when I first started, and that meant the most to me, you know, my sisters and my grandma and my aunts and stuff, just my family, because, like, in my business, I always, like, tell myself Alaska's my future because I'm home and I'm here, but I want to do things that will also positively impact my past. So aside from Anchorage, the Savannah newspaper and my family and everyone there was, like, the next biggest share. And I'll never forget when I got our first big contract, we had some shares from the Gullah Geechee Association of Northern Florida, and that meant a lot to me because I was like, wow, my gosh, word travels fast, and they know, like, all the way in Alaska, they still know. And that was really special for me. I would say growing up and when I was first starting this journey as being an entrepreneur and a community activist, you know, my experience as a woman of color, you know, here in Alaska, at first it was a little rough, you know, just trying to be, like, respected and having a seat at the table and showing my worth. And it took a long time to get to that point. So I always kind of look back on it and I'm like, dang, it took some vending machines and, you know, an entrepreneurial idea to get to that point of, like, my community sees me and they support and I feel understood and supported. So it's been an amazing journey. And Baby Vend has opened, like, doors I would have never in a million years expected. And we're still growing, but the support has been unreal from both places, from Anchorage and also Savannah and other parts of Alaska, too. You know, we've got great support from Juneau and Fairbanks, and so it's a beautiful thing.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Love it.
Jasmine, we're so excited to hear that you've had a lot of support from both your hometown in Georgia and from us here in Alaska. But can you share a little bit more about some of the challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yeah. So that's a topic that I think maybe all of us can probably relate to. So I don't know. I have found in the community and work, it is double work as a woman of color in business, in just the professional world. And then recently I have, like, come to realize, like, oh, I am a woman as well. And, oh, there's sexism. So it's been a real interesting journey of, like, trying to assert myself and be confident in, like, those workspaces and professional spaces just to have my voice heard, to have my advice and recommendations, like, trusted, and other things in business, like trusting me and my concept enough to give us funding, you know, or believe in what we're doing. So, some of the challenges that, like, I've experienced in business, I think a lot of other women in business have experienced it, women of color in business too, just things of, like, having that imposter syndrome. I don't know, that could be just be me, but, like, you know, even though I know my stuff and I know I'm doing good, there's always been this feeling of, like, maybe it's not real, you know, or maybe it's not good enough. because they'll question it, or you have to work extra to just kind of prove your worth. And I've been learning to cope with that and combat that and kind of fight back and show, like, other women in business and, like, black women and women in color in business, like, how to deal with that when it happens. And I can say it manifests very differently here in Alaska than it does in the South. So, like, down South, we're kind of raised knowing what it is, and those challenges are kind of in your face, and it's very transparent. But, you know, in Alaska, it kind of manifests different, and sometimes it's so subtle, you're like, oh, wow, did that just happen? Or did I just hear that or see that? And it kind of gives you this, like, that gaslight feeling of, like, am I crazy, or are they making me think I'm crazy? So I try to be really transparent with that, because I feel like in business and life and in organization, it's easy to share the successes and be like, yay, it's going great, I'm doing great. But I would not feel, like, real and true to my journey as a black woman and now as a black mom if I didn't say there were some hard times from not being able to get anyone to invest in me, them telling me my idea was perfect, but they just didn't think I was ready for that kind of money, right? Or having those meetings where they're like, oh, that's a great idea, but go and put 18 more pages of proof together and then come back next time, or you should start your prices lower. You need experience and exposure and just so many things like that I'm like, wow, like that really could have impacted me and almost hindered me from what I know my potential was. And I want to make sure other women don't have those experiences, or at least if it comes, they don't feel alone. They got, like, someone in a village with them who's like, it happened to me too, and I get it, and this is how we combat it. So no matter how much Baby Van grows and no matter, like, where I go, for me, it is very, very important to stay, like, transparent and true to my roots and who I am and who I'm doing this for. Like, never forget where I came from and what I had to go through to be here. And I just, like, I swear by that every day. Like, that's just super important to me.
Who do you look at as inspiration, or I guess, well, obviously mothers around the world would be your inspiration, I'm guessing. But I guess I'm trying to ask about, like, mentorship, or who and what you draw on to help you get through those challenges.
Yeah, so I got a couple different mentors, and I know, like, one or two of them might feel kind of silly. So I think in, like, traditional cultural context, my grandma, you know, like, my grandma was the person that I could tell her all of my crazy ideas, like, you know, as no matter what I wanted to do for business, every time I wanted to go and save some animal I found on the side of the road and bring in her house, my grandma was always the one that never judged and was always like, you can do it, I know you can do it, and she was a real safe space. So that was one of the people who really impacted me positively growing up that made me believe I could do anything. So that was one of my big mentors. My other big mentors that I still talk to him to this day here in Alaska, Colleen Nuruddin, here in Anchorage, Alaska. He was my supervisor at Nine Star when I worked there. And Colleen was really important to me, and I still talk to him because he gave me an opportunity and he let me have a voice, and he really allowed me to practice what I told him I wanted to do and become. And to this day, you know, when I do things, I still thank him, and he's still an Alaskan black man that I really look up to. Another person that was important to me was Hezekiah Holland. He is a, like, 6'5" tall Caucasian man here in Alaska, and he does a lot in the entrepreneurial world. And for me, he was an example of, like, a good ally and someone who shared opportunities and had my back and taught me inner workings and called me on my stuff when I was wrong and really helped me grow and fast-track, like, Baby Van especially, you know. And then, of course, my last one are my best friends, my girls, who've been my friends since first grade, fourth grade, and high school. And I feel like we all do our own things in terms of business, and, you know, sometimes we talk a lot and sometimes we talk a little, but they're always a constant place of, like, they got my back, they know me unfiltered, they know me, you know, outside of anything. But I will say, like, my big, big business mentor is definitely Master P, and, you know, being able to talk with him last week meant a lot, but I follow his journey a lot in terms of, like, going from music to business and going from struggling to becoming somebody and having to, like, change who he was and also, like, share opportunities and diversify. So I got a couple of different people that I lean to for different parts of myself that kind of I feel like complete me, you know, as a woman and as a person.
Did you say Master P?
Yes.
So you just kind of threw that in there.
I don't know if we may need to tell people who Master P
is. Oh, goodness. I know. I do. Yeah. So I've listened to Master P's music for years, probably before I should have been listening to it. But I did listen to it. And then as time progressed and, like, he started getting into business, I always followed him. Like, he was always doing random crazy stuff. And it resonated with me because, like, I was always told growing up and as an adult, like, you're doing too much. You have too many different interests. You got to pick one thing. You got to focus. And he, to me, was like the epitome of, no, you don't. I have cereal. I got vending machines. Yes. I got energy drinks. So I literally was able to interview him and talk to him last week. And it was just crazy that in this interview, I asked him, I'm like, how do you handle that when people tell you you're doing too much? He's like, you don't do too much. I got energy drinks. I got cereal. I got chips. And I'm like, say less. I understand.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, first of all, I can relate because I'm all over the place and I have a ton of different ideas and I too have been told pick one. And I'm like, how? Why should I? I can do it all and just with the right guidance and encouragement. So I'm glad that you received that feedback from Master P too. And to our listeners who are not familiar, Master P is a famous rapper. Well, started off as a rapper and is now a very successful businessman. And that's just really cool that you interviewed Master P. I'm just completely impressed by that and the way you just kind of slid it in there.
Like, I'm sorry. I didn't want to be like too fanny and too weird. Like, Master P. And now if you saw me on the event, I looked like I was going to pass out and have like a conniption on site when I seen him. I felt bad. That man said it was a virtual event. And he sat in the waiting room for 5 minutes because I was just staring at his name in the waiting room. And then finally my friends, like, let him in the event. And I'm like, yes, let the man in the event. I got to talk to him.
That is so funny. So, Jasmine, you have more than one business. Is that correct?
Yes. I have three.
Okay, what are your other businesses, and can you talk to us a little bit about how you balance entrepreneurship and being a mom?
Yes, I would love to. So my other businesses, I have two other ones. The first one is the Business Boutique, and that is business development and consulting and community empowerment. When I first started my business, I found that, like, I didn't really fit in yet. In many of the other traditional business settings, I wasn't coming in a suit and tie. I wasn't speaking the language. I had some multi-generational things I had to, like, unpack, and I had some cultural things that I didn't want to unpack to be able to fit in with traditional norms of what is good business. So I said, you know, I'm going to make my own business. So back when I was in college, I went to Georgia State after I went to Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka. I found that they always told me I talked proper and, you know, being Alaskan, you talk funny, you talk different. So the rappers and the artists and stuff in college would pay me to call venues for them and, like, negotiate and be the professional voice and help them do contracts and paperwork. And I'm like, you know what? This is a lot of fun. I want to help other people like that start businesses and get to whatever their goals are. So we do the Business Boutique, and that is a, you know, an organization that is all about starting and growing businesses in multiple languages and diverse communities, and just basically saying anybody can have a piece of the American pie, no matter what flavor you're going for. You want sweet potato, you want apple, whatever. It doesn't matter. We'll meet you where you are and help you reach your business goals. And the second one I have really speaks to the cultural side of me and my desire to create spaces where people don't feel like they ever have to code switch and they can just be themselves. So we created Emoja Co-working and Incubator, which is Swahili for unity, and one of my favorite Kwanzaa principles. And that's literally a co-working space here in Anchorage where people can rent office space, have meetings, do events. We even created an in-house Emoja Academy for the kids. Shout out to Mahogany and Major Man, Andy, and they even came through and taught the kids culture and history and how to speak French and Swahili, and we taught them the different nations in Africa. So it was always our desire to have week-long cultural intensives with different ethnic groups and teach all kids about the different groups and cultures that make up Alaska, and just having like a space for everybody to go to and run their businesses, but also have a slice of their culture and be themselves at the same time. So a common theme with all my businesses, Mountain View and those kind of neighborhoods. So I purposely, you know, started Babies Inn and had my headquarters in Mountain View, the co-working space in Mountain View. I live in Mountain View. My kids go to school in Mountain View because I really want people to know it doesn't matter if you're from a high-income neighborhood or a low-income neighborhood, with the right people and team, you can foster innovation from anywhere. So those three businesses speak to, like, different parts of who I am as a mother and the family person, as a cultural person in the community, and as helping other people tap into multi-generational wealth.
Wow. And how do you balance all of that and be a mom?
Yes, that's the question of the millennium. So the first thing I tell people is be unapologetic with your self-care. So there's two things that I always do. Number one, I am known to put my phone on airplane mode after a certain time every night, and I just, you know, decompress. The second thing my team knows me to do is I sneak away from the office every Thursday, and I get a massage, and I'm unapologetic with my massage. And I'm a really big advocate for time management. Like, I've learned that you really can do whatever you have to do in the week if you manage your time. So I try to do things like, you know, Monday might be business boutique day, Tuesday is baby then day, Wednesday is emoji day, and I just kind of block that time out. Saturday is I don't work, I'm having kid day. I mean, it's hard sometimes. For me, I'm trying to leave my kids something more than what I had and a lot of my friends and family had, and I include them. So I would say time management, planned self-care, and changing the way we look at business and being okay with family. I take my kids to my events. They go to my meetings with me so they can see firsthand what I do. In all of our office spaces, we have a playroom for kids, so people want to bring their kids. They don't have to worry about a babysitter. So I've just taught myself to incorporate my kids in all my business. And anytime I feel like, you know, it's getting hard and I'm going to have a parent meltdown, I am thankful and happy that they have great grandparents. And I tell anybody, tap into family. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And my mom and my dad or their other grandparents will come and pick them up any time and place if they know that I'm doing something that's like business related or like growth related. So I have a really special place for them. Like, they've been a lifesaver as a single parent, being able to call them and being able to bring my kids with me.
Wow, that's really awesome. I love your intentionality around self-care. That's so important for all of us, especially women and especially mothers. So I'm happy to hear that you've prioritized that and to know that you have so much support too. That's huge.
There's that myth. It's a myth of the strong black woman. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Like, there's that myth of, like, you know, we're always strong and we'll be okay and we're resilient. And I counter that with, like, we are strong and we could be okay, but we don't have to make that the backdrop of our narrative. Like, yeah, we're still human. Mm-hmm. We still have feelings and needs. So it's okay for us to be like, no, or I need some time for me without feeling like guilty or we're like slacking. Because, you know, I know you guys get it. Like, it's that feeling of like you always have to be doing something and just overly selfless to a fault, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking about in Michelle Obama's documentary, she was talking about how she would get upset with Barack for going to the gym. And he's like, hey, I got to take care of myself. And she said after a while, instead of getting mad, she said, okay, well, if you have time to go to the gym, I have time to go to the gym.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Right there, Michelle.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, she's like, true. We got these young kids. We don't have time for that. But she's like, I'm not even going to hate on him. He's right. And I'm gonna follow suit. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah,
Well, if you're just joining us, we are here with Jasmine Smith, who invented Baby Vend, and I'm your host, Christina Michelle. My co-host is Kelly Patterson. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more from Jasmine. And Jasmine, I'd love for you to share what legacy you are building and you want to leave behind when we return. Is that okay?
Oh, that's amazing. Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and I am joined by Kelly Patterson, and we are interviewing Jasmine Smith. She's joining us from Anchorage, Alaska, and she's the inventor of Baby Vend. So, Jasmine, we have a couple more questions for you as we close out today's show.
So, Jasmine, I've just been listening, and I am so impressed with what you have done and who you are and what you've accomplished. But I have just, like, something that I've been thinking about while I've been sitting here. And I know that sometimes, even with little things, even with trying to do this radio show and inviting guests to the radio show, that sometimes people hear that we're in Alaska and they discredit us just because we're from a state that, you know, is not necessarily known for having inventions or known for having celebrities or known for having a lot of things come out of it besides salmon and crab. So I just wanted to know, like, what were some of the challenges that you faced simply because you were from Alaska trying to do such a big endeavor and you had such a great idea? And who helped you navigate that area? Who helped you navigate how to expand out of Alaska? Who to contact if you hit walls in Alaska? Like, how did you overcome that?
Yeah, so right off the bat, I found that, like, anytime I told somebody from the Lower 48 or the outside that I was from Alaska, it was either an overly romanticized response. It was a, oh my gosh, you're brown from Alaska, what are you doing there?
Right.
Or it was a, oh, good, she's from Alaska, so she doesn't know anything, so we're going to try to get over and quote her higher. And it was so interesting. Like, people just literally don't know Alaska. And, like, some didn't even know we were a state still. We thought
right.
we were a territory. So I found that, like, I spent a lot of my time in business when I was, like, first introducing myself. It still happens all the time, like, getting past the typical, is it dark? Is it cold? The gauging of, like, do you have internet? And it's really weird. And I'm like, why would we not have these things? But then I realized I do the same thing to other states. So, like, I was talking to a lady from, like Nebraska, and I'm like, what are you doing there? She's like, the same thing you're doing in Alaska. So yeah, it was definitely hard at first. Like, up here, we're just raised to be really, like, Alaska first, and I felt kind of removed. So I had to, like, battle the credibility of just being in business as a woman of color, and then to add as a woman of color from the mythical Alaska was a third level of work. So I can say internally, special shout out to Javier Robinson from Anchorage International Airport, the concession manager. He is single-handedly who got me in the airport for my first location. I met him at a DBE conference, and I went to him, and I was like, I have a vending machine idea, and I want to go to the airport. And he's like, people tell me that kind of stuff all the time. And I said, no, I'm different. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be back. And I think once he saw my follow-through, he has been a tireless advocate. I can call Javier and ask a question. He'll answer. He'll say, put me on three-way. And he will talk him through it, over it, or under it. So, like, having the Javiers and the Hezekiahs and them to really be my buffer has been really helpful here. So out of state, I was really connected with, like, a lot of the Black Chambers of Commerces and, like, NAACP, and we went to some conferences, and I met some great people there, and they got to know me and know what I was trying to do and what I was about, and they were invaluable helping me out of state because, again, I was just some unknown random girl from a state that everyone thought had nothing there. Therefore, once they got over the excitement of Alaska in more of a curious sense, mm-hmm. I found that they really weren't trying to work with me or do business with me. They just thought I was interesting and, like, different. So I can say to people, like, for me, having a few people on your side, the airport helping me, and Hezekiah from Alaska Startups helping me, and having folks like that who were willing to be my reference made a big difference. Like, I do a lot of contracting with the city and having staff over there. I had to literally have them sometimes just be a reference for me of, like, credibility and, like, we know stuff up here. Because if not, once they got past the, like, oh, that's interesting, it was really weird. Like, I just didn't know. People still didn't know about our state to that level. So, yeah, it was really interesting. I even had people that were like, I want to buy one of your machines, but are there flights to Alaska? How am I going to get there? And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. So it's been a lot of, like, educating on doing business with Alaska, not just, like, doing business with Baby Van. I had to, like, educate them on me being an Alaskan-owned company. Like, yes, we're credible. We're real. We do the same thing you do. So, yeah, that was kind of a challenge for a long time. Only recently have we finally started getting over that hump of, like, you're Alaskan, can we trust you, do we know you? And now it's like, oh, that's just Alaskan Baby Van Jasmine kind of thing, you know?
Yay, I'm glad you got there.
We're getting there, you're almost there.
Well, Jasmine, can you tell us about your legacy and what you have in mind in terms of what you want to leave behind?
Yes. So I am a big supporter and follower and researcher of Seven Streams of Income. I really believe in it. Everything that I do is built around having seven streams of something left for my kids, my nephew, any future nieces and nephews, my little cousins. So I really want to be able to have my kids and my family be set up to where they don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, and we don't have to do any, like, GoFundMes and fundraisers when people pass away. I really want us to have, you know, funding and college, military, business, whatever they want, you know, already saved and paid for. And I really want to be able to leave them, you know, in a positive place without having to worry and, you know, about the next generation. So everything that I do is first and foremost for my kids, because I want them to be good and have opportunities that I didn't have and not have to worry like we did growing up about bills and just basic necessities. And then from there, my secondary priority is, like, my extended family, my cousins, my nieces and nephews and them. So one thing we're working on right now is a part of all the money that we make from the business, I save it, and I'm using it to finish upgrades and improvements on my grandma and grandpa's house, which I recently bought, and we're using that income right now to turn into an Airbnb. And all the money that we raise from that Airbnb is going to go into a trust account, and it'll be equally split between my kids and all their cousins. So that's the kind of stuff that I think about. So I want my companies to be successful and make money, not just so we can be rich one day, but because I want us to be able to spread opportunities to our families and then also spread opportunities to other parts of our community. So that's everything I do is about generational wealth building for my kids and the community members.
I love that. Thank you so much. Jasmine, is there anything that you want to share with us or say that we haven't talked about as we close?
I just want to say thank you. This is fantastic, and I love what y'all do, and I love you providing platforms for stories and voices and hearing about each of you. So I'm just thankful for the invite, and I'm happy to have spent time with you guys.
Oh, we're so happy that you were here.
Thank you. You're wonderful to talk to. Thanks for joining us.
Where can we find Baby Vend?
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and our handle is just BabyVend. You can also go to our website, babyvendunlimited.com. So between one of those places, we are always posting and always sharing information, or you can email us, info@babyvendunlimited.com.
Okay, and what locations would we find a vending machine in?
A baby vend.
In Alaska, we are here in Anchorage. We are at Fifth Avenue Mall, Ted Stevens Airport, the Anchorage Museum, Diamond Center. We also have a machine in Fairbanks. We have a machine, I don't have all the locations, but we do have a machine in Seattle, Tacoma. We have 4 locations around LA and San Diego in California. We are in Reno, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona. We are in St. Paul, Minnesota, Mall of America. We have 2 cities in Texas and Florida. We're from as far south as Miami up to Jacksonville. We are in Atlanta, Baltimore, Clarksburg, just got to New York City, and we are working on Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, wow. I'm so excited for you. And I saw the baby vend in Seattle, and I wanted to buy something, but I just didn't have anything to buy. But I was excited to see it. I was like, there it is.
I saw one at the mall in Anchorage, and I was super excited too.
We're just so proud of you, Jasmine, and excited for your future. And again, we really appreciate you giving us your time today.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Okay. To our listeners, thank you for joining us again. Culture Rich Conversations airs every Thursday. It's a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO. And we will be here with you again next week. Until then, take care.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture.